Okay, Galatians 6. We left off at chapter 6, verse 14. We have four verses to go. That's good. So we're wrapping it up. We're attempting to wrap it up. So I feel like we can do that tonight and not miss anything. But Paul is, when we finished last week, where Paul had wrote, he said, "You see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hands." And it was indication of the urgency that Paul had to write to the Galatians, not only the urgency, but the care. We looked at last week about the care that he had for them. And we looked at how, what would make him feel that way. You recall that? We talked about that, where the Lord had worked so much in Paul that he had not only had a conviction for the gospel, but he had a love for the saints. And that's not something that you can manufacture. It was because he was so overtaken by God's grace and his purpose that it could only flow out. You know what? And that's what he said, that the gospel constrains you. And that's what we talk about, the grace of God really working in a person is, that's when you find out, when he talks about, and he talks about it in all his epistles, about the love that they should have one toward another, is to see that the fellow saints built up. Now, one thing that you can see, if you find leadership or even the laity, if you find that or some where they're being abused, when I say abused or being taken advantage of, like the Corinthians were being taken advantage of, you just bet that there's no genuine love there. You know, Paul said in Romans, "Let love be without dissimulation." That's a big word. That's without hypocrisy. You know, they'll tell you they love you, but
it didn't come from here.
No, that's they're not after your, like Paul said, "I don't want yours, but I want you." They don't want you.
They want yours.
I don't hear it.
And it'll take. You know, a guy was telling me, oh, that was Sheldon. He said, "I like this small church." He says, "When I go somewhere, I want my pastor to know me by name, yeah, and not by my tithing ticket."
The number, huh?
Not ranking.
So they, you know, you, when they look through, the reason they call you, or they look through and see, well, Sister Annette, she's been out for 6 weeks. Doesn't matter how she feels, we're missing 6 weeks of tithe money. And if she was a good tither,
she'll get a
call and say, we noticed you haven't been there in a while, and we want to make sure everything's okay, and you know, and we're praying for you, and you can send your donation in, you know, or we can come by and pick it up if you feel like you can't get out.
Do they really say that?
True,
then y'all know y'all was going the wrong
place. So, but that's what.
Send it in.
That's how, just one incident. There's other things, too, that when you talk about the love. But Paul didn't do that. He said, I robbed other churches to minister.
I got to give this example. This just blew me away. I'm driving here tonight, and I caught a little bit of Hank Hanegraaff, and he says, "We've already projected there we're going to have a shortfall for the month of January.
Yes, every year he say that.
We've already projected that in January we've figured out the number of days and we're going to come up between $50,000 and $75,000 short for this month, and we don't want to start the year already with a deficit. I thought, unbelievable. If you run a deficit, you ain't got no business doing what you're doing.
You know, that's what, and those are things that, what Paul said is, he said, we provide for things honest in the sight of all men, that the ministry be not blamed. Because the first thing that you see is, why would God, if you're saying this is our God that we serve and he's so awesome and he's so mighty and he'll make a way, but he'll have you out in Walmart or Kroger soliciting from the unbelievers. And that's what, like, one thing I know in Detroit where, it was this. It's, if you come to this assembly, you don't have to join. You don't, you know, you give if you want to give. But my pastor always said this. He said, I will not have the members selling dinners, washing cars, selling candy bars, or whatever they do out. He says, if we can't get what we need done in this assembly, we need to close the doors. That's what, because why? That's a poor testimony for the grace of God to go out and beg for what you need in this house.
Well, you remember what you said a couple weeks ago about that, I know if a man's not called, because if he's not preaching Paul, that right there is tells you the disqualification, and it's the same thing. If we're trying to do more than the resources we have, there's something wrong. We're overstepping where we need to be.
But what if it's just simply taking the wealth of the wicked and giving it to the righteous? It's in the Bible.
Take the what?
Taking the wealth of the wicked and giving it to the righteous.
So I need to be wicked to get wealthy.
Would it be the Old Testament?
It's in the Bible.
But
it's on Google. That's it.
But anyway, what the point, you know, is as far as is love. And if we looked at that in Colossians where Paul said this, and above all this, put on charity, which is the
bond of perfect.
When you know a guy is spiritual, a person, I say guy or gal, is spiritual, if they have that love for you. If they want to, you can tell, you know, we're all adults. You can tell when somebody's trying to pull the wool over you. Can't you?
In most cases. Yeah.
Most cases. It's got to be real smooth to fool you. You know, but Paul, he had the love for the saints, and he expressed it in all of his letters, even the Corinthians, especially the Corinthians, where, you know, talk about people that were probably in our standard would be unlovable. You know, if you say, well, they treat you so bad, Paul, why do you keep going back? Isn't that something? Where if we go to a place and they treat us badly, you say, well, you know what? I went two times and this happened. I went to a Sunday school one time, and the pastor is really nice. And we'll get finished here. The pastor's really nice, and on Wednesday, I went a few times on Wednesday, and he's like, yeah, come on back, and we really like you being here. I went to a Sunday school, and the guy was teaching a lesson, an older gentleman, and he was finishing up his lesson. He says, I don't know why this was a certain... It was a pastor. He says, I don't know why this was. And he said, he finished up. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper, the answer. Mm-hmm. And went to everybody got done. And then when he shook my hand, and I gave him the paper. And I guess he looked at it. The next time I went back, you know, he didn't even acknowledge me.
Wow.
He didn't say hi or I got your note or thank you or what. He actually walked right by me. But I thought,
see you.
I thought, it must be me. So, you know, you position yourself where you can at least be in eye shot. And sure enough, and I thought, wow. So, well, but you talk about, that's what I'm talking about, the love of a believer. I could have done that in a different way. And because, you know why I did it?
You didn't want to run in vain.
No, it's not even that. Because I esteemed him in that position better than what I had. I wanted him. You could go back and tell him next week, hey, I found the answer. Here it is. I wasn't even there. I wanted him to win.
Exactly.
And I thought, what else could I have done other than be quiet? And there was no ulterior, no motive, you know, to shine at all. It was just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. With the wrong statements on it.
With a verse. It was a verse. It was a verse on it.
As far as he was concerned.
So, but, and I was okay. I was okay with, because I know my motive when I did it. Now, his response, that's something that he'll have to grow out of or grow into a better response the next time. So, and I went back. I've been back. I haven't seen him again, though. So I don't know. I'm sure he's still there. But anyway, let's keep going. Paul says this in verse 13. He says that the Judaizers, they didn't preach the cross. They preached circumcision, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And Annette, I think we talked about that last week. I don't know if that cleared your question up, where because of persecution, believers will compromise. Especially religious people will compromise. You know, it's a passage in John where the Lord, the Jews, they would not confess Christ among the Jews in the synagogue. They many believed on him, but they would not confess him. You know why I said that? They said they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
Yeah, there was the parents that wouldn't give testimony to the healing of their child,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, that was another. That was two different, but
he's grown. He can tell you.
Right.
They wouldn't, yeah.
So you can't. That's what makes this message so hard, because it's against the mainstream, mm-hmm. And people will tell you personally, "Oh, I love that message. The grace of God set me free." But when you have to stand for it against the multitude, he says, "Well, I believe a little bit of that. I know there's, we run into this. This was a guy in Detroit. He'd do this. He'd say, he'd call pastors up and he'd say, Watkins don't baptize." Telling them that. "What do you think about that?" He doesn't believe it either. But he won't tell them that's what I believe. He'll say, "Hey, that's what Watkins believe. That we don't supposed to baptize and we don't supposed to tithe. What you think about that, Doc?" You know, that's what they call the big preachers. "What do you think about that, Doc?" And then he'll let them railroad him. And so he's safe now. He says, "Well, I know I can't talk about it with that guy because he doesn't believe it. So I'm safe." That's, you know what? Paul said this. He said, "Pray for me." Paul. Pray for me that I might have boldness to speak the mystery of the gospel as I ought to speak. If he felt that he needed prayer for boldness, what do you don't think we'll waffle and fold under the pressure?
You think we would?
Yeah, we would. And we do.
Yes, we do.
When Paul was in Galatia, where we looked at it earlier, he said that I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach. And he said, we didn't give in. We didn't give in. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Suppose he got up there and said, you know what? Yeah. Let's find a compromise here. He wouldn't be able to say in chapter 5, stand fast in the liberty if he gave half of it away in the meeting. Mm-hmm. Could he? Aren't you glad that he was committed to the message?
Yes.
And he said, even Titus, who was with me, he said, we didn't let him get circumcised. You know, that's what standing.
I guess you have to visualize the times, and it's just totally against the grain. You know.
Right. Listen, we don't get that. That's what you're talking about.
You're talking about pressure.
You're talking about 2,500 years of circumcision. And here's a man who was circumcised. Here's a man who preached circumcision. And then all of a sudden he disappears for 3 years. The law man. He was a Pharisee. He disappears and everybody, where's Paul? I don't know. Where's Paul? I don't know. Where's that? He was next in line. He was, you know, you're talking about the top of the Pharisaic cult class. And he just disappears for 3 years.
Is that when he was sowing his tents?
That's when he got saved. Uh-huh. And he went into Arabia for 3 years. Don't you think they were looking for him? Where is he? Don't know. All of a sudden he comes back with this new thing. And he's we don't circumcise anymore. What do you think they thought about him?
He's crazy. He had a little bit too much sun in the desert.
Listen, that's no small matter. Mm-hmm. We're so far removed from that, where to us we just read it. It's just words on the page. But everywhere he went, they said, that guy, that's the guy right there. Yep. He's teaching everybody not to observe the law, not to circumcise. You know why every city he went to, they wanted to kill him.
But for 2,500 years,
that's
all
that. But the way of communication to not even to be at our lowest level at that time, but what he did was before him, before he got to the old city. It's crazy.
You mean what he? Oh, the word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they had a
lot. Look at Acts 28. Look at Acts 28, and it was the word about him had gotten so far. Paul was brought up where? In Tarsus, went to Jerusalem, and was preaching in Jerusalem, and look. They didn't have telephone, email, Twitter,
Pony Express, skywriting.
Look at Acts 28. Watch this. Hold your hand in Galatians. Acts 28.
They used to call it telewoman. That's what it was.
Hmm. Right, Acts 28, No, that's too much. That's too much to read. I'm sorry, it's taking me so long. Verse 22. Look, start at verse 21 then. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is what? Evil spoken against. That's Paul before he even hits Rome. And Paul says, I want to talk to you guys. And he said, we want to talk to you too, because we didn't get any letter from anybody. But one thing we do know is that what you're saying, everywhere is spoken evil of. Look, that's God's message. That's God's message. And he goes to those Jews in Rome, and they know that that's the guy that's preaching what everybody doesn't like. His reputation preceded him even to Rome. And it wasn't good. That's, isn't that something? So when he talked about, when he makes a statement, he says that it's given to me to fill up the sufferings of Christ. And then you have people, us, the believers who, if it were not for him, they wouldn't even be saved. And they'll say, you're making too much of Paul. It's like, why are you talking about Paul all the time? It's like, if I don't talk about him, you have nothing. You have nothing.
They believe they've been saved, they believe in grace, but they don't know where it came from.
They pretended that that's
not right. It's mixed up. Like Angie said this Sunday. She said, we would have gotten saved. We would have, but you had had to wait. You had to wait for a Jew, the Jewish nation, or somebody from the Jewish nation, one of those tribes, to come and get you and make you a proselyte. You wouldn't have the riches in Christ that you have and enjoy now if it weren't for Paul. If it weren't for the Lord saving Paul and sending him to the Gentiles. So, and this is what he's writing to the Galatians is, can you imagine all the blessings of the gospel that he had, that he wanted to share with them, and he couldn't? Because they went backwards.
They couldn't handle the truth.
He told the Romans, he says, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established. And he says, and when I come back, he says, I'm sure that I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He said, I got something that I really want to talk to you about Christ. I can't wait to get there. That's what he said, I long to see you. But he said, verse 14, but a compromiser won't preach that, those riches. They won't do it.
Especially after he's been chided a couple of times.
Especially after he's been chided. And we just get verbal chiding. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a little bit of ridicule or ostracized a little bit.
We don't throw bricks, huh?
We don't get stoned or whipped. We don't get that the treatment that they got. But that's enough for us, isn't it? That's enough. We're
made social pariah in this day and age. You know, right. I was talking to a colleague at dinner last night. We're waiting for the clients to get there. And we were just talking about how, well, it all stimulated from what happened at the Grammys. And just saying how you're put in a position, you've got to keep your mouth shut because you got to keep your job, you got to support your family. But like he said, I can't tell you how many times I started making a comment like on Facebook, and I thought, no, somebody in AutoZone's going to see it, and they're going to file a complaint if this guy's this or that, and it's becoming more and more ubiquitous, you know.
These people were modern.
Oh, I know.
Right.
You know, that's why I said we're social pariah. Mm-hmm. We don't deal with the stoning and all that kind of stuff. Not that you can't see it coming, because it's just kind of going down a path that, you know, we're becoming more and more ostracized.
I've read some of the stuff that happened to these people, man.
Yeah,
it's just
Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Oh, my goodness, it's just
torn asunder, cut in two.
Right.
Living in holes.
I mean, that's what you're up against confessing Christ. It's like, wow. Oh, my goodness, man.
You can talk about, no, this is one of the things we were talking about. I think Ed was talking about last week, not last week, the week before that, about apologetics, where you defend Christianity. Is what other religion that, other than this one, that you can't talk about? They'll let you talk about anything else. Mm-hmm. But the minute you say Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden,
but this country was raised on Jesus Christ.
What's the big deal? Is do you remember when Paul, when the 12 were preaching, and it said that, and they were scattered abroad about the persecution, mm-hmm. and they went everywhere mm-hmm. preaching. Okay. After Paul gets saved, guess who stops getting persecuted? And guess who started getting persecuted?
Who stopped? I didn't hear.
The 12. Somebody knew.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say somebody. Why beat a dead horse? Satan knew that they're done. That's not a threat. The gospel, they're over there. Now this is my focus right here. This man.
Which is the Satan's path throughout the scripture. Whatever the Lord's focused on at the moment, that's where he's.
And how strong did he go after Paul?
It was pretty strong.
If it has no power, why bother? You know, why bother? But the minute you hit the radar, you can talk about anything you want to, but the minute you hit the radar with a Creflo Dollar, he's if he keeps going, he's going to hit the radar. And you'll see him backpedal. He's done. He's doing a little bit. He's mixing a little bit of this in. He was going strong for some weeks. Then all of a sudden, he's mixing a little tongues in and mixing a little prosperity in. And I know you can say that I'm standing for this gospel of grace. Right. Okay. But when you get that call,
I've seen him up there preaching about grace and then all of a sudden going in a little shumba la 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 and then going back and mixing it up.
It's possible. That's why this is what Paul says. He says this, 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He says, God forbid that I should glory. Could he?
Yes.
He could have. He could have said, like he said in Philippians, they're law guys, but I was much better than them. I exceeded above many of my equals. He talked about, I was a Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If they want to talk about appearances and personages, look at me.
Concerning the law,
he said, that's even the Corinthians, he says, are they apostles? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. He says, do they labor? I think he says, I'm more. In other words, he said, you know what? If you want to talk, if you want to boast, they can't hold a candle to me. But let's not talk about me. He said, God forbid, save I should glory, save in the cross. Took all the focus off of him, like John said, I must decrease.
He must increase.
So he, and that's what he did, is he knew when he met the Lord, or when the Lord met him, he knew, I think we talked about this last week, he knew that that was it for him. He could have been done right there. For the Lord to save him and then send him with a new purpose, he knew that he says, what else do I have to talk about? I have nothing to boast about except his grace in the cross. This is what the cross has accomplished. You talk about setting a person free. It set him. He says that I'm done with the law. He said the things that I counted gain. He says, I see now that it was dung. It had no merit at all.
I count it loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
He said, for this man, I've suffered the loss of all things.
Gladly.
That's how many... And he's going up against people who are just the opposite. They glory in the physical. Look what we've done. Look at our building. Look at our choir. Look how much money we raised. We went over here. We're doing this. We're doing big things for God.
Opening a new campus.
All that stuff. We got a school. We got a new library. We got this, the nursery. We opening up a charter school for the Lord.
The new commercial on TV, the Life Church. They're now going to be at the Paradiso Theater.
But where is the cross in all that? If you pull them to the side, pull the first 10. And what do you have in Christ? Tell me 3 things you got in Christ. And pull in the first 10 members and see what answer you get. But Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. He said, I think there's a verse in Jeremiah says this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. But him that glory, let him glory in this, that he knows me. And his loving kindness and his goodness. That's, what is that? Look at Jeremiah. Help me out, Frank. You know what that is? Jeremiah 12? No, it's not 12.
Jeremiah 9, that's it. 23, that's it. 9:23.
Look at that. That's it. All right. He said this. Isaiah, Jeremiah. He says, thus saith the Lord.
What verse?
23.
Oh, no.
Chapter 9.
Y'all go ahead.
All right. He said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And you can see it. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in the cross. You know, everything that that God is, that's how much do you think God invested in Christ?
Everything.
What do you mean? What do you mean when you say everything?
The earth, the Adam and Eve, the whole population.
It was the sole, single answer to the whole problem of mankind through the ages. It was all vested in that one act.
I mean, you got everything. Just to abbreviate all this, you got the whole Old Testament that pointed to Christ, to the cross. You got God's eternal purpose. Now, see this horizontal funnel? I just drew this. I'm thinking about people who don't hear this. This horizontal funnel that's pointing to the cross. You got the Old Testament from Genesis all the way up to the cross. Everything pointed to him.
To
Christ. Did it not? Every book speaks of something that pertains to the coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. We know that God has, in the beginning, or God said this, in the beginning, God created, right? And God said this, and God said that. You ever heard anybody use the terminology that said that Jesus Christ is the expressive member of the Godhead, or the expressive? When you express something, what do you think of? When you express something,
you're fishing, but I don't know what you're.
What? So you're speaking. You're speaking, right? So if God said this, God says, "Let there be." He's doing what? And God said, what? Let there. And it was so. And God said this, and it was so. And God said this, and it was so, right? Well, you look at Colossians chapter 1, and it said this. What does it say? Colossians chapter 1.
It's rattling around in my mind.
Get Colossians 1:15, Hebrews chapter 1.
He is the image of the
what?
Invisible God.
Who is the firstborn of every creature, for by him was what?
All things
made. By who? Well, I thought God created everything in the beginning. Well, he must be mistaken. Because he said all things were created by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made.
But then he says, oh God, thy God,
So that's what I'm saying when you talk about everything that God, not just his purpose and his plan, but even his, what Paul called his eternal power in Godhead, everything that's in him, his, we just looked at it, his love, his kindness, his grace, his righteousness, his justice, his judgment, all those things that God is. And it's all funneled down to Christ. Everything. It's like, it's, you talk about putting all your eggs in one basket. And he could do that. You know, he said, but when Jesus Christ said this in Philippians, Paul said this about Jesus Christ in Philippians. He says that let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the
form.
The what? The form of God.
Thought it not robbery to be equal.
What does that mean? What does it mean he thought it not robbery to be equal with God?
Because he was God. He wasn't taking something that wasn't his, because it was his. It was who he was.
He wasn't what?
A usurper.
He wasn't a usurper. Who was?
Satan.
Satan said that I will be like, well, that was something that didn't belong to him. But
and
Jesus Christ,
like God, he was God.
That's why he, you know what? He says, it's not something for me to take. You don't try to grasp after something that you already have. You don't try to attain something that you already have.
Steal from yourself.
I am. That's right. What, are you going to take it out of your right hand pocket and put it in your left pocket?
Well, it does say don't let your left hand know what your right hand.
But everything that he is, and it's in here. It's in Christ. That's what he said in Colossians. He says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in him. And then that's what Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And from here, you know what? From the cross goes out everything for us. All the riches and the glory and the grace and the goodness that's in him is in Paul saying, this is what I have for you, for us. Why would you talk about anything else? You're going to trade this in for circumcision. That's...
They have that circumcision. Because they really did that when they were grown, wasn't it?
No, they did it when they were young. But that's what... When I look at that, when Paul says, God forbid that... Okay, back to Galatians. Right. That I should glory in the cross...
They did do it when they were grown, if you were a proselyte, or you came into it
at a later age. Yeah.
But if you were raised in that.
And it became the, you think about this, it was when he talks about the cross, where Peter looked at it, it was shameful. Mm-hmm. He was the victim.
Mm-hmm. Cursed, you cursed your king.
It showed weakness. It was a object of, for Peter, when Peter talked about it, when he said, Peter, I'm gonna have to go to the cross now and be persecuted and crucified. And Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. He said, this won't happen. I can imagine, not long as I'm here, this won't happen. And the Lord said,
Get behind me,
Satan. He called him an adversary. Wonder why.
He already knew, that's why.
He knew, you know what, that this was...
That's why he came.
It was, everything was hinging on this act. Not the, no, we used to sing a song in Detroit, and it says, just for me. And it says, what does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. It's more than the emblem on your chain. It says, but it means that I'm free from the chains of slavery. And the blood he shed won't let my sins remain. And he said, just for me. We don't realize how much he accomplished. Most believers don't realize how much he accomplished on the cross. And then when he's done, where the scripture said that he endured the suffering and the shame for the glory that was set before him. He went from what it looked like from being conquered to what? To a conqueror. Mm-hmm. He went from looks like they finally defeated him. And then he raises, he says, all power is, I have it. Can you see what God did with this event right here? We were in Detroit, and I'm thinking that this, where, can you imagine the angels? They were watching this. He said, don't you know that I can call 10,000 angels? One would do the job, but he said, I can call 10,000. And don't you think that they would deliver me? Pilate, he said, I have power. I have power to crucify you or to let you go. He says, I have this commandment from my Father. No man take my life. He says, I can lay it down and I can do what? Anytime I get ready. And when he gets through, Pilate, it changed his mind, didn't it? He said, are you a king? He said, did you say this of yourself or did you get it from somebody else? What do you think? He was more than a king. Or I say, he was the, like Paul said, he was the king, immortal, eternal, the only wise God. And Paul said, can you see what God forbid that I should talk about me or anything else but this? He says, by whom I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. What could the world offer in place of that?
Souls.
He said, well, I mean, what can the world offer? What can the world offer you in place of Christ? You know, the world, what the world would do is take us and use us up. Suck all your vitality out and then throw you back home and watch TV. Let's just sit there and rot out. You know, we see it all the time. We see these, you know, we see. Paul said this to the Galatians. He said he has he died that he might deliver us from this what?
Present evil world.
Present what?
Evil world.
That's, do we believe that? Paul said, I'm crucified unto the world. I have no affection for it. And the world is crucified unto me. They don't want me either. He told the Corinthians, he said, I'm the offscouring of the world. We are. He said, we're like the offscouring of the world. Yeah. And he says, I'm crucified unto the world and the world unto me. To borrow one from James, James said this, if any man love the world, he is a what? Enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. if the world, like Jesus said this, the world loves its own. He said, they don't love you. If I was of this world, then they would love me.
Yeah.
He says, I'm crucified unto the world. Now, we haven't got that far yet. Paul said to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and be not conformed to the world. We don't let the world. I saw a guy today, you know what I was thinking? Cold as it was today, you know, I saw a guy walking and his pants hanging down. And I thought, you don't have sense enough keeping up with the Joneses,
yeah,
with the fad.
Right.
And I'm thinking, now, you can't tell me.
He was probably walking a little stiff-like.
You know what the explanation for that is? He is young and dumb.
That's, you know what? The world is, when the world dictates what you do, there's nothing good about that, period. And most people think when you get saved that God is like a killjoy. Where you get, you don't want me to have no fun. Mm-hmm. Or it's like,
it gets harder.
But they don't, right. But you know what? Go on out there and suck some of it in. And that's what I say. When it takes you, use you up, years down the line, when you look at all the time you wasted, all the pain and heartache you got from being out in the world, then you get, you know what, that's where, we all been in the church scene where you had all those old folks sitting on the front bench crying. They won't tell you. Some of them tell. I've heard stories. And they'll tell you, son, trust the Lord. Go with the Lord while you're young. Serve them while you're young. So they've got old and got where they can't enjoy salvation like we can. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. He didn't mean work for it either. The guy's already saved. He said, lay hold on it.
We've been taught from birth to earn, to make our way.
But
we
that's,
don't get enough of this when we're young. We don't pay attention. It's like listening to your father or your
that's mother. Right.
It's the same story. As I learn this, and I want to go way out and say as I read this, but as I learn this.
Well, you're reading when we're here, right?
Yes. But I see that if you could capture it in your youth, you would be a strong deliverer. But we all start getting old, and then we get closer, and then we realize we need it more so than we did ever.
It's human nature.
That's right.
It's true about everything.
But this is you're talking about eternal things. You know, this is not like a 401k or a pension, you know. If you think that way with money, that I have to have, you know what, I got to build something now. You're talking about a big nest egg where, you know what, to invest in spiritual things.
But I did not know this. Now that I know it, it's so hard to go forward, but all the time you're going forward, you're looking for the wrong thing. You're working at the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing.
You know what? You just keep going forward. That's all. You know what? If you had one leg and had to walk a mile, just hop. And I guarantee you, if you just kept hopping, and you look back, you'd be a lot farther down the road than saying, I can't do it. I just got one leg. I'm going to stay right here.
Like the rabbit and the tortoise.
You're not going to go backward. Verse 14. But God forbid, should I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's why the cross does that. Do you know the cross makes you a new creature? Spiritually? That's why it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are this side of glory. This side of earth, it means nothing who you are. Mm-hmm. That's plus, he says, not many rich, not many noble, not many wise men. He said, but God had chosen the foolish things, the base things, to confound the things. Whatever your credentials are, you can't come to Christ and say, I'm the top realtor, or I'm this, or I'm that. Because what he does is strips all that off, because you're glory in that. He strips all that off and he makes you a new creature. Paul, in Corinthians, he said, what's that?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, no. Because you're dung, as you said in the past.
That's dung, right. D-U-N-G, right. But he said in Corinthians, he said that... Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. We know no man after the flesh. He's talking about accomplishments that they had. They said, look at what I've done. Now that's something that for a believer, you could talk about, look what Christ did on earth. And Paul says, I'm going to talk about that. He's a new. This is a new man now. What his old things are passed away. He said, behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. Y'all, your accomplishments, your past, successes and failures. All things are become new. This is a different spiritual program now. And all things are what? Of God. All things. You have, what do you have to bring? Nothing. When you go in by faith, and just like going to the army, they take everything that you have and put it in the bag.
And give you new underwear.
Everything.
New boots.
Everything. Toothpaste, deodorant, razor, everything. You got nothing. Everything's U.S. Army issue.
I never thought about it that way.
He says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know what?
It's good life.
That's where we're going. We're going to let those eggs lay there. We'll hatch them some other time.
Man.
So, but I will say one thing about this, where when Paul, he says, if many as be according to this rule, think like he's thinking, that in Christ it's all new, and everything is in him for us to glory in him. There's nothing physical, external, fasting. There's nothing physical, external that we can glory in, whatever it is.
Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to the high calling of God.
That's Paul said, that in Philippians, he says that, you just said that, forgetting those things that are behind. The successes and the failures. Mm-hmm. And what Paul talked about, I bear the marks in my body. Mm-hmm. That's what a mark, he's totally identified with Christ. That's why he suffered those things. He didn't suffer those things as Paul the Pharisee. He suffered those things as Paul the Apostle.
So he identified with Christ by the marks, and we can sum it up to, I guess, everything versus trying to weigh up to Christ through baptism.
Right. You had your little trinket that you like to hang on to, and this was identifies you with Christ. He says, no.
He got a bruise.
Because they are saying, no, circumcision, this is what identifies you. And Paul said, no. He said, you want to, this is what identifies you. This here, this right here. These, you know what, when Jesus in Zechariah, they said this, they asked him, where'd you get those wounds in your hand? And you know how he got them? Know why he received those wounds?
Defending himself.
He wasn't defending himself. He had surrendered himself to the will of the Father. That's why he got those wounds, because he suffered. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
He didn't call down those legions of angels.
And he can say, my marks, I bear in my body the marks of my Father. And he can say, you know what, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. This shows my commitment right here. And Paul said, let no man trouble me. Because my marks in my body show my commitment. Say, they're not serving. I'm serving. They're not believing. I'm believing.
And even so much so, he said, if you follow me, you follow me.
So much so, right? And so much so that we're done with that, and we're going to stop right there.